Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Chris Drumgoole. Chris is the Chief Information Officer of General Electric, a Fortune 25 company with revenues exceeding $120 billion annually. As CIO, he's responsible for developing IT strategy and applications across the different business units of the company. Chris oversees a team of more than 10,000 individuals who build and run the digital technology that keeps GE's businesses running and communicating with its customers all day, every day. Prior to joining GE, Chris was the Chief Operating Officer and Senior Vice President of Global Operations at Verizon Enterprise Solutions. In this interview, we discuss the changes GE has made through a period of great transition for the company. While the company led the way in outsourcing technology, Chris points out that that's not aligned with the digital world. And because of this, the company has decided to invest in IT talent and grow that capability across the organization. Also, in an effort to modernize IT, the company has spent a great deal of time transforming end-user technology. We also discuss GE's twofold approach to attracting talent, how Chris looks to ride the fine line between standardization of technology across business units versus investing in solutions specific to one BU versus another. We also cover the shift the company is making from investing in deep domain expertise to assembling a team of generalists, as well as a variety of other topics. Chris Drumgoole, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
That's a pleasure. Chris, I thought we'd begin with your current role. You were the group CIO of General Electric, GE. And I wonder if you can talk a bit about your responsibilities there. You've been in role for nearly 5.5 years. And not only a significant role at a significant company, but a company in a period of change as well. And I wonder if you could talk a bit about your purview and your time as CIO.
Sure. So yeah, I've been with the company about 5.5 years. I just took the role of CIO just under a year ago now. And through, as you mentioned, through a time of tremendous change. But fundamentally, what I'm responsible for is looking after IT strategy, applications and operations across the different business units. So to give everybody a bit of a flavor, a lot of people know GE, but they know us as their light bulbs, their microwaves, which neither of which we make anymore. We have a number of business units. We operate in 176 countries, predominantly in power, aviation, healthcare, and renewable energy. And we look after, as CIO, I look after the teams that nearly 10,000 strong that build and run the systems and digital technology that keeps those businesses running and communicating with their customers every day, all day.
Well, Chris, as you mentioned, GE is very diverse, though a bit less diverse than it once was. Nevertheless, these are significant businesses and very different businesses, as you just articulated. Can you talk a bit about how technology works together across each of those? I have to imagine that there's a fair amount in power versus aviation versus healthcare that is specific to those industries where there's less of an opportunity to share centers of excellence, best practices, et cetera. But I have to imagine there's also a fair amount that is. And I wonder how you go about thinking about the differences between those.
Absolutely. And that's a big part of the balance. As anyone who's read a newspaper in the last 12 months knows, the company's been going through tremendous shift. And what you just kind of hit on from a technology point of view is really the shift that the company is going through, much greater than technology. It's looking at our businesses share a lot of commonalities. They all deal with very large, complex engineered systems, but they're also very unique. Putting an aircraft engine in the air is quite different than building a power plant. So a lot of what the company thinks about and what I think about leading IT is exactly finding those similarities and differences. And that's the sweet spot that you're looking for. So it's making those decisions. You don't want to, we've all seen it before. It's very easy when someone's sitting kind of in an office away from the field to make it look on paper like everything should just be run together because it's all so similar and it'll save us a lot of money and everything will be great. And then everyone's probably been in their career at some point in time on the receiving end of that decision where they're in the field in front of a customer trying to solve that customer's problem. And if only you know, those central guys to get out of the way with their great plan, I could do what I need to do. So that's really the balance we try to strike here, is understanding where that line should be drawn, where that middle ground is. And for us, it's a changing line right now, frankly, as the company changes around us. And it's a decision, it's part of the reformulation of the new GE that we're going through. And we've got some answers already, but others, frankly, we're still thinking through.
Interesting. And I know from our past conversations that you've been evolving your own strategy, which I'd love to delve into a little bit further. Part one of the themes that you talked about in a recent conversation you and I had was the notion of the citizen developer. And I wonder if you could define the term and also define its application to your organization.
Sure, I'd love to. I think it's, and I different people use the term different ways, but I think it's probably the most transformative thing that's going to happen in IT over the next several years. And that is, when I look at our team, and again, we're a bit of a different business in that our team around the world tends to be a very technical audience, right? We have a lot of engineers, technicians by trade, so they tend to be maybe a bit more savvy than some other industries. But when I look across our global employee base, we have as much coding, software, and technology talent across our employee base than we probably had in IT several years ago. And that model is just increasing. So our employees, whatever part of the business they're in, be it finance, engineering, whatever, are becoming more and more technical. And they're figuring out ways to solve their own problems and their customers' problems on their own. And I really view the transformation that we have to drive here of, I'll call it kind of central or corporate IT, is to enable them to do that and do that well. So we want that field engineer, that power engineer, that aviation person to be able to write their own software, to write their own applications. And when I say software and applications, they're not writing the next ERP for the company, but they're maybe coming up with a unique software solution that solves their particular problem. And we really want to build a world where we can encourage that. We can give them the right tools to do that. We can put the right security in place to make sure that that doesn't cause the company risk. But I think one of the biggest differentiators, the next stage of digital transformation, if you will, is really pushing that empowerment to your actual users and letting them make the decisions for them. And I use coding and software a lot. It's not only about that. It could be a finance person who's doing some really great macro and workflow work. You see a lot of this, a proxy for this is people who are kind of doing robotic process automation. That's really just kind of citizen developer in disguise. That'll be the next step of that. So that's really the way we think about it, is how do we build a framework and a world where we can enable and promote that kind of thinking and that kind of behavior. And we have some great examples of where it's been successful.
I'd love to hear those. Would you care to share some of those?
Yeah, we have a ton of them. So we run a thing called the Next Tech Challenge, where not only do we enable it to happen, but that's kind of where we put our money where our mouth is. We let people come together in the field and come up with teams that they come up with ideas and write their own software. And two of them, they're actually really similar, that just came out of the last version of that. And these are amazing concepts that came out just from really basic employees who were in the field. We're both around using analytics, deep learning, AI, combined with imaging to help us diagnose and fix problems better. So very specifically, we had a group of fairly entry-level employees, frankly, come up with a way to use AI and deep learning to look at a CT scan of a blade that came off an aircraft engine or out of a power turbine. So what people probably don't realize is that these blades or buckets, they go under tremendous stress, and you don't want them breaking at all, ever. So part of the inspection process, part of the maintenance we do with our customers, whether they're a power plant operator or an aircraft engine operator, is we take those out, we image them using CT scan technology, and then typically a human will look at that image. That takes years of training to learn how to diagnose that image and see if there's kind of a problem brewing that the naked eye can't see yet. It's very time consuming, it's very expensive, but it's extremely critical to safety. These teams figured out a way to take that data using software tools. We gave them no data other than just the image documents themselves they could get and Amazon accounts. And they took software and technology, and they were able to build an application that chopped up the two teams approached it slightly differently, that chopped up those CT images, learned from the previous results of the human inspector, having said this is good or this is bad, and then got better, and then could recommend to the human inspector where they needed to look first and essentially prioritize them in the file. So very kind of new idea, still not fully operationalized yet, but that's a great example of a little tool. We only have a couple, maybe dozen, hundred of those inspectors in the company. Would have never risen to the level of let's put a full-scale IT team on this. But you had this team of relatively new employees who were close to the customer, close to those inspectors, saw an opportunity, took the tools we gave them, and solved the problem.
Very interesting. And I'm curious, I guess in that situation, the format itself helped bring visibility to the good ideas that were bubbling up. And I'm curious, the notion of the citizen developer and you know, expanding the reach within the organization for innovation from a technology perspective, how do you generally govern that? How do you ensure that, especially an organization as large as GE, which ultimately needs to find opportunities that can scale, that can, you know, hopefully drive significant revenue that adds to an already significant revenue base. How do you govern all of that?
You know, it's an ongoing question, to be very frank. But when we think about it, we really think about governing it as there's really two core components we think about. One is how do we share it, reuse it, and hopefully not duplicate it? And then the other is how do we secure it, kind of provide some rigor and make sure we're not exposing the company to undue risk. We think about those as two distinct different buckets. The first one, the sharing and reusing, is actually a bit easier to solve. So what we found with this community of people who like to write their own stuff, just like any others, they like to share kind of generally by default. And I know I'm painting with some broad strokes, but that's been our experience. So we've set up forums internally where they can share and celebrate their software and their achievements, like the challenge I just mentioned. We've also set up things like internal Stack Exchange-like environments, internal Git, where people can put their code up. And listen, I love developers. I was one. And the best thing are lazy developers. That's the best kind you have because they want to reuse other stuff. So when we put things in Git, we find that people naturally reuse, grow, fork, change it. And there's kind of a community there that you can then farm to look for the ones you want to pull out. Does it solve duplication completely? No, it doesn't. I would be lying if I said it did. But it gets us close enough that we think the trade-off is worth it. The security one is a deeper question, and that's where we rely more on our traditional controls around data and access to prevent any loss or risk to the company there. Again, I think if you were to talk to a lot of our developers, they'd probably listen to this podcast and kind of cringe a little bit that I say, oh, it's great, we've got it secure, because they probably still view some of those security tools as a detriment to them moving faster. And that's something we want to challenge, we want to solve, is we want to make sure that we can still provide that data security, provide that protection, that risk avoidance for GE and its customers, while letting them go as free as possible. I think we're probably still early in this journey, and we're a bit heavy-handed or a bit more heavy-handed than we should be long-term. That's my vision and my goal. But right now, we've had to take that approach because we don't want people, you know, letting data go or making bad decisions.
Yeah, very interesting indeed. GE has always been legendary for its culture. Its culture of promoting from within, its culture of robust training, almost akin to a business school. The number of your peer CIOs at other organizations who are GE alums is extraordinary. I mean, one of the most significant family trees, so to say, can essentially was born from General Electric. And I wonder, you know, how is the culture changing as the organization becomes a bit smaller, as you noted before, a bit more focused? You know, I'm curious what aspects of the historical culture remain versus those things that have been pressing forward into the future, so to say.
Yeah, you're spot on. One of the most eye-opening things when I got here was how many people out in industry you could suddenly just call, and because you had that GE connection, how many people worked here at some point in their life you could lean on, and it's proven to be an invaluable resource for me. I think the company is changing, but the core culture isn't. It's a company that for a long time has been committed to excellence, focusing on its customer, and the highest levels of integrity. And I don't, you know, for example, when you first get here, one of the first things we do is you kind of go through a process called the spirit and letter of teaching you how we think about integrity and how we think about security going forward and how you apply that to your everyday life. Same thing with excellence. We make machines that people count on oftentimes for their very life, be it in healthcare or aviation. And that's a responsibility that's deeply baked into the culture of the company and taken very seriously. I think what is changing around the place is it's a culture that embraced being a generalist for a while over maybe being a deep domain expert. And I think that's something you're starting to see change as Larry Culp, our new CEO, comes in and really is pushing our businesses to be a bit more standalone and a bit more independent in their thinking, not necessarily their structure, but their thinking. That's, I think, a shift you're starting to see. I even see it in our IT teams. We're starting to see still a lot more movement, but that movement tends to happen more within a business as opposed to maybe cross businesses. I'm a little bit kind of have my forecasting the future hat on because we'll see how it ends. But I think that's one of the first things you've seen is really a push on domain expertise versus kind of generalist expertise. But the core pieces of excellence, training, integrity, they really haven't gone anywhere. In fact, I think they're a lot of what is driving the company through the challenging times we're going through right now. I think without those core kind of pieces of the culture, we'd probably be in a very different place.
That's interesting. And as you continue to recruit at GE, I'm curious, as you mentioned, during a time of change, a challenging time, I'm curious what's the recruiting process look like now? What's the pitch to the talent that you need clearly in order to continue to fulfill all you've described? How do you make that pitch these days?
Yeah, and I think we make it vigorously because I think like most people who have my job at other companies, attracting talent is job one and getting harder and harder, which as a citizen, I love that people are employed and gainfully growing. But as an employer, it's really frustrating when you're trying to hire people. So, you know, we kind of have a twofold approach here at GE. The first is, I said it in jest before, we don't make the microwaves and light bulbs anymore. But the first part is really just educating, and this may be unique to us, but educating our potential employees of how deeply impactful we are to the world. Because frankly, people, I love our lighting division and I love our aviation, I mean, our appliances division that we sold, but it was a bit harder to get people excited to come in and work on those products. But when you start talking about the way we change lives within healthcare or within aviation by helping people see their families, make connections, or power, bringing power to places in the world that haven't had it before, that's a really compelling story. So our first challenge is really connecting our employees to that core mission of the company. You know, we talk about move, power, cure the world. We really talk about getting them behind that mission. That's the first step, is to get them to realize there's a real challenge here that's exciting to them and that they can make an impact on whatever piece of the world they happen to be working in. And then after that, it's really around letting them talk about what the experience is going to be like as an employee and how much they have the ability to use digital technology to change those businesses. I think industry as a whole in the United States and globally has been a bit behind the technology curve. The technology has been more focused in the factory and in the products themselves. And that's really transforming. That transformation started. I know you know my predecessor, Jim. He really doubled down on changing that. And I'm continuing that by bringing that technology out to our customers. And that's an interesting story for people too. Hey, there are applications that you can work on here that are going to be in the hands. They're going to drive business results. They're going to drive changes to our customers. And people get excited about that. So our biggest challenge is, quite frankly, finding the time, weeding through the noise of all the employers out there who are looking for talent to get that opportunity to tell our story.
And I'm curious also, we've talked about some of the cultural changes that have been afoot, some of the new strategies that you and the organization more broadly are pursuing. As you continue to think about modernizing IT, what are other steps that you're undertaking, whether it's people practices, processes, or technology?
Yeah, that's a long list, but I'll pick out a few of them. The first is it comes back to actually what we were just talking about, which is talent. And again, I can't take credit for starting it, but I will take credit for continuing it. We really made a decision probably under Jamie Miller or Jim's regime, to really start investing in IT talent and continuing to do that. I think, like many companies, maybe even GE led the way in outsourcing technology. It was something, it was a back office function that someone else worried about, and was a very kind of straight out of business school cost comparison. Hey, they can do this transaction for 2 cents cheaper, so move it to them. And when someone else can do it for a penny cheaper than them, move it to them. And that's just not aligned to the digital world, that outsourcing of that core IP. So we've really been on a mission over the last several years to double down and invest in growing that capability within the company. We've hired hundreds, if not thousands, of people over the last several years to really build that up. And that takes some time. But that's really been a piece, is to rebuild that muscle and make sure that that muscle becomes a core competence of the General Electric company going forward. Another area that we've really spent a lot of time transforming, it kind of aligns to why we think citizen developers are so important, is our end user technology space. That was, and it's rote, it's mundane, people don't like talking about it because it's not, it's kind of not the sexy part of the CIO's job, right, historically, but I think it actually is. I think as we talk about the modern employee who's very dependent on digital tools, the fact that your average corporate person in America gets a better experience at the Apple store than they do at their employer for technology is a big problem. So we've invested heavily over the last several years really transforming that experience. We've been very successful with it. And really embracing that we have to treat our employees as the consumers that they are, as the innovators that they are, and give them give them a holistic technology experience that rivals, you know, that Apple-esque, that Microsoft-esque, that consumer-esque experience, because I think that's a key piece of enabling the other stuff you want to happen. And that's a really deep change because people really just outsource that. And we had to really think about it from the ground up and redo it.
Excellent. Well, Chris Drumgoole, thank you so much for joining me on Technovation today. Very interesting conversation about the evolution of General Electric, the significant role that IT is playing in that, and the innovative things that you and your team are doing. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Peter. I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Andrei Skluski, the Chief Executive Officer of AES.